Australia overnight. Now, are you a glass half empty or half full kind of person? Now, the answer to this question might be the answer that underpins the way you deal with conflict at work and in your relationships. Organisational psychologist Joe Hart is here to discuss this morning the accountability matrix and where you sit in that spectrum. So, good morning. Welcome to the show, Joe Hart. Thank you, mate.
G'day, Pat. Great to be here. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. My pleasure. So, yeah, the way you see the world, let's start with that. Whether you see it as a half full or half empty as far as the glass goes, does that determine sort of what happens to you?
Yeah, 100%. Look, and personal perspective, I think, I've probably shifted over the years. I've started as maybe a glass half empty type person. And I've shifted into, you know, the glass being slightly fuller as I've aged and hopefully gained a bit of wisdom along the way. But definitely how we see the world is it shapes everything.
Yes. How interesting. I reckon I'm the same. Funny you say that. I think because the normal default setting is to sort of be negative because, you know, we want to protect ourselves from danger or bad things. But as you get older, if you're lucky, you do become more aware that you need to have a more positive outlook because it does colour the way you see the world and what happens in your life.
Well, that's it. You know, and look, other factors influence it as well. You know, our belief system as well. Yeah, thinking that something external to us is sort of making things happen, that can sometimes free us. It can make us feel a little bit, sort of accountable, or at least make sense of things. It helps us make meaning out of what happens. But, you know, from somebody's perspective where they like to think that they're in control and they're leading their life, which is a very, I think, Western and common view to take, where you know, your actions dictate the results. You work hard, therefore you become successful. That type of approach, yeah, often comes with a glass half empty view of the world, and it can sometimes be difficult to process challenging situations or challenging scenarios.
Explain that to me. So in the Western world, we sort of think that we work hard and you act and there's and it creates something. Should we not be thinking that way?
No, it's not necessarily about whether we should or we shouldn't. I think it's more about seeing yourself in relation to that. So knowing where you sit, because I think that the common problem is, you know, we might start to blame external factors for what's happening. And this is where, you know, if we talk about the accountability matrix, we start to find ourselves in this, you know, this miserable buggers quadrant, you know, where, you know, things happen to us and the world is really out to get us, so to speak. So, you know, that can be, a bit of a victim mentality that's hard to shake. And so it's difficult, you know, to tell someone they're being a victim, right? Yeah. What is still difficult but less difficult is to help somebody recognize in themselves that that's actually what they're showing up as. And I think that's the trick.
Australia overnight, we're chatting with organisational psychologist and executive coach Joe Hart about how you see the world, whether it's half glass empty or full, and this accountability spectrum, is that what it's called here? And you mentioned the miserable bastards is on the spectrum. So they're the ones you just referred to where they sort of see themselves as victims and everything is working against them?
Yeah, that's right. 100%, and look, I think where we want to see ourselves is probably in the practical optimists. You know, we're realistic about what's going on. We have a slightly full glass, and it just enables us to move on and get things done, push forward, and meet the challenges as they come up. You know, and it's recognizing that we're in control. And the action that we do take or that we don't take leads to an outcome. So it's really practical in that sense, and to not get too caught up on, something bad happens, someone dies or something, an event happens in your world that sort of turns things upside down, to not start, looking at the world as if it's out to get you. You know, I think if you try and make meaning out of, oh, I've got such bad luck, which people might say, or, things like this always happened to me, or things were going really well. I was just waiting for them to go bad. You know, we've got this this natural, you pointed it out earlier, this natural tendency to actually view the world as a threat. Mm. And that helps us survive. It helps us be successful to a degree. But it also holds us back. And it's not overly useful when the threats around you aren't really real. You know, that they're actually just people having conversations with you. It's not like you've got someone trying to tear you apart, you know, like what might happen in nature with an animal. It's a lot less physically or, sometimes emotionally threatening, yes, but in terms of life threatening, no. Mm. So how do we manage that?
Because the brain was there to fend off things which are life-threatening, but in 2023, we've still got this sort of prehistoric impulse, but it's obviously a different sort of environment. And I'm with you here, Joe. I get what you're saying there, but what do you say to listeners, and even part of me, you know, you say that we're in control, but it does feel like bad things happen. Somebody says or does something where you miss out or you're shafted in some way or something, you know, terrible happens. That does feel like it's something outside you happening to you. So how do you process that?
Well, I mean, realistically, I like to ask people, you know, in that moment, say something bad's happened, to bring it back to what's most important to that person. You know, what's most important to you? And, you know, they might say, look, it's most important that, you know, I stay focused on my goal, or, you know, I make sure I'm healthy, or I, you know, go to bed early because I know I need to get up early. You know, to just bring it back to something really simple that you know is most important to you. And that focus, I think, is for many enough to just get them back on track. What's not useful is to try and make meaning or connect the dots out of what's just happened. You know, so say an accident does happen. Say you're training, you're an athlete, and you're training for, you know, the Olympics. Let's use that as an example. And you get injured. It was no one's fault. It happened. Maybe it was you slipped or whatever it could have been, but it happened. And so rather than go down the path of doom and gloom and I'm never going to compete and, you know, my career's over and, oh, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? Actually, just to focus back on improving your health again. So getting the injury treated, getting all of it, all the experts need to look at it and diagnose it properly, figure out the action plan, and one foot after the other. And I think that belief that you hold around it is possible to actually heal and get better is 99% of the battle mentally. If you're holding this belief that the world's out to get you and, oh, it doesn't matter what you do, you're never going to compete again. Yep. And, you know, you go down this endless negative cycle, and that's where you become a miserable bastard. Right. And, yeah, you do, in fact. And it's really horrible and difficult for people to be around you. It's the same, well, yeah, I get it. It's really upsetting. It's really unfortunate.
Yep.
However, at some point, well, you need to do something.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have to accept this. And so, you know, when there's conflict, and, you know, someone might say, you don't understand, you're not in my situation, all of which is true.
Yeah.
All of which is true. However, at the core of it, and the simple truth is that person needs to take accountability. And really, the conflict they're experiencing is coming from them. It's not coming from anybody external. It's not coming from the world. Mm. It's actually coming from them.
I see.
And
you're, sort of, you're projecting it outwards.
Totally.
Joe Hart, organisational psychologist and executive coach, is on Australia Overnight. Are we allowed to be a miserable bastard for a little while, Joe? Can we just be a miserable bastard? If something bad happens, can we just, soak in it for a while, please?
Oh, look, Pat, I reckon that's actually a really smart strategy. So often with my clients, if something terrible has happened, and it happens, and really terrible stuff, I often don't go down the path too quickly, saying, right, you know, the world's just the world and you can't make meaning. I mean, of course, we need to go through that process of experiencing a bit of anger and grief and whatever the emotion is that you're experiencing, just letting it out. However, there's a time frame that I think is really important to put around that. And so by saying to somebody, all right, you're allowed to be mad, you're allowed to be whatever it is, anxious or upset or frustrated, let's go there. Let's actually really explore that emotion. Yeah,
and just feel it, like get through it.
Fully feel it, fully express it.
Nice.
And so look, sometimes that can be scary. People are like, hang on, am I allowed to get angry? So yeah, I want you to get really, really angry. Go there. And then at that point, they've expressed it. And now let's put a time frame and say, okay, we've done that. We've named it. We've experienced it. We know it inside out. Now it's time to move forward. You know, what's most important? What are we going to do?
Oh, well, that's handy.
And I think that just gives people permission.
Yeah.
It's just permission to feel.
Because it's just natural. It's natural to feel knocked around. But permission just to go through it. I've just written down here, the belief that everything happens for a reason. I often hear myself telling myself that's how it's going through, that everything. And there's a little story or parable about the farmer whose son fell off the, have you heard this one? I'm going to get it completely wrong, but the son fell off the horse and broke his arm. And somebody said, oh, that's unfortunate. And he said, oh, we'll see. Then the guys came to sort of get the people for the army, and the son couldn't go because the arm was broken. So there was a sequence of events that at the beginning seemed unfortunate, but then the next following sort of thing, there was a reason for it. And I tend to believe that in my sort of life, and it does help me through things. Things happen for a reason, good or bad. It if you wait long enough, it'll reveal itself.
Well, look, it's actually a really interesting question because I mean, it talks to this concept of locus of control, and that same idea, locus of control, talks to, you know, the world happening to you or you creating what happens in the world, and so if you hold a belief that you know, everything happens for a reason, that's a way of explaining what's taking place. Right. And when we have a way of explaining what's taking place, it actually gives us comfort. It makes us feel comfortable to say, okay, well, it happened for a reason. There must be a reason for this. I don't know what it is yet. However, I'm going to hold an open mind and an open heart and just see what emerges. So that's an external locus of control. And look, the research indicates that people who have an external locus of control are happier. Hand on heart, I don't have an external locus of control. I am the opposite, and I've always been that way. I don't believe everything happens for a reason, and I know there are many people out there that do, and I think that's incredibly useful, and I envy you lucky, lucky buggers.
So what is the upbringing, or why do I believe it and you don't?
Look, I don't know, and, you know, I don't want to tread on any toes, but look, it could be, you know, the core of our nation probably follows a Christian faith.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And so,
did you have a religious? Were you a religious upbringing?
Well, no, I wasn't. I was actually the opposite. My parents requested that I didn't go to scripture class. So, for me, I didn't have any of that, and I actually wanted to go to scripture class because I was curious, which I eventually did. But early on, I didn't have those early formative years where the belief was provided for me that actually there was somebody else that was in control, so to speak. Yeah. And so, you know, it gave me a very interesting perspective because I was like, oh, that makes sense that if you hold that belief, it actually gives you comfort. It helps you explain what's going on.
Yeah.
And so religion, and look, that's a very common theme amongst all religions. If you look at them from that perspective, like how does it serve people? How does it serve a mass, a collective? It's actually a really, really useful thing to.
Are you suggesting that we invented religion to help us just, you know, feel better about the world?
Look, if that's what you've read or heard, I mean, I'll jump on that.
I have no idea. You know. It's been wonderful. Thanks for your time. But I can't think of the name of the movie, but we you and me need to go away and watch the movie with Brad Pitt where he lives his life backwards.
Benjamin Button.
Benjamin Button.
Yeah, the curious case of Benjamin Button.
Yeah, that's it.
It's actually a good film.
That's right, it's a good film. That says it all. Once you live your life backwards, you sort of know that what it's all about, I guess, is the thing.
Exactly.
Mate, it's always wonderful to have you on the show. Thanks for being on Australia Overnight. Joe Hart, organisational psychologist and executive coach. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Pat. Really appreciate it.